Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Today I wanted to talk about, I don't have a guest. I'm just going to talk about someone that Stacy and I met this last year around Christmas. I guess it was the first of the year, around New Year's Eve, actually. I was feeling kind of blue and depressed, and we didn't have anything to do. We don't do a lot on New Year's Eve if we don't have some place to play. And as a duo, we don't ordinarily do that. And I try to visit friends in nursing homes or people that are shut in because it lifts my spirits and it lifts them. But I got to thinking, I have a website, and I kind of put the cart before the horse in my eagerness to stock my website. I had a lot of photographs printed in anticipation that people were going to buy them. I realized that it's like a lot of other things. People will say, oh, I love that. That's a beautiful picture. That would look good in a frame. I would buy that picture. And then they don't. A few people did, but many didn't. And it was my error in judgment to have pre-printed all these pictures that I thought I was going to sell, these photographs. And I had a lot of these 5x7s. I mean, they're perfectly good photographs, but good quality and good color. But they were just sitting in a file folder, and they weren't doing anybody any good there. So I thought, what the heck? Why don't I just find them a new home? So I told Stacy, and we piled in the car. And it was cold, of course, but we were looking for people that we would see maybe in a parking lot of a store or just any place we'd see people out and about. We would just stop, and I was driving. Stacy was he was the deliverer of the gifts, and we had them in little bags, and so we'd roll up to these people. The first person that we gave it to was a woman who happened to be walking about a mile east of where I live. And so we pull up, and naturally, people are going to be a little cautious. I would be too. Somebody rolls up in this day and age, you don't know if somebody has evil intentions or good intentions. And so we stopped, and she was greeted with Stacy's smile and handed her the picture, and she was kind of like everybody else did that rest of that day, was a little quizzical as to what our intentions were, but she took it, and maybe was it Christmas Eve, or was it, I don't remember if it's Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, but anyway, it may have been Christmas Eve, but we were handing these pictures out and to these random strangers, and most of they were, as I said, they were all curious and all cautious, but the most cautious of all, the most skeptical, I would say, was an Amish boy on a bicycle, because he said, what's this for? It's like, well, it's not for anything. We just wanted to give you something, and people are just not used, I guess, to people just walking up total strangers and giving them something. Granted, it wasn't $1 million. It wasn't $5. It was just an inexpensive photograph, but we probably handed out 20 photos that day to little, so there were Amish kids in buggies. If there were six kids in the buggies, we gave them six pictures, even though they may have all come from the same family. And we went to a Casey's, which is a local convenience store in Arcola, and Stacy went in and came back to get an extra photo and to give to the other clerk that was working in there. And then we could see these two Mexican men I could see these two Mexican men as we were backing out looking at us and smiling. And so I pulled back in and I got out of the car and I got two pictures and handed them to them. And they just beamed, they were so excited. It was just that recognition of being a kind, doing a kindness for someone that you don't know, And it gave us a lot more satisfaction than it did them, I would say. But there was no angle and no expectation of anything from them. And I think that was something that we really appreciated. It gave us great satisfaction. And so we decided a few days later to venture out and do the same thing. We headed out with Stacy's little box of packaged photos, and we're making our way around our favorite places to take pictures around Lake Paradise in Mattoon, Illinois, near where I live. And we saw a man getting mail out of his mailbox. It's like, oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. So we rolled up and he looked at us, and, you know, Stacy, the windows rolled down, and he hands him this package. And the man looks at it, and he thanked us. And we had my podcast card that we gave him too. And so later that day, I got a phone call from that man, and he was saying he was kind of intrigued, I guess, as anything, by my last name, Dexter. And he was telling that he was born southwest of Effingham, Illinois, near a place called Dexter's Corners. And so my name really resonated with him. And I got to tell you, he really resonated with us. He was just the nicest man and very, very well-spoken. He told us he was 94 years old. And so he was telling about having taught. He'd been in the Navy and he'd taught. So he was telling me this on the phone. And he called a couple of times. We had a great conversation. And then one day he called and said, you know, my sons are going to put me in a facility in Effingham. And I said, are you okay with that? Is that something, you know, that I wasn't surprised. I mean, he was 94 years old. But he said, no, this happens periodically. He said, if they're going to be gone for a while, they want me to be, they want to know that I'm taken care of. So he apparently went in this facility in Effingham, and I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear he'd ever called again. And, you know, we kind of feared the worst. Every time we'd go to Effingham, I'd think, I said, I wish I could remember the name of the place where Mr. Taylor was supposed to be living, but I couldn't remember the name of what he told me. There was no way to find out. And every time we'd go by his house, it looked just the same as it had. We didn't see any movement. He had a car in the driveway, but it just didn't look like there's anything, any activity there. So I need to backtrack because I forgot that what we had done prior to that was we had dropped off a calendar. I make calendars and sell them with my photographs on there. That's a really important part of the story. I make calendars and sell them, and I had some left. And so when Stacy and I were driving by, I said, well, let's put a calendar in Mr. Taylor's mailbox. And we did. And so it'd be something when he opened up his mailbox, would have been surprised by seeing it. And it has all my contact information on it too. So, but then it was after that, that I got the call from his son, from him saying that he had to be but he was going to be going into this facility. And so we didn't know what had happened to him. And I was just kind of sad and had feared the worst. At 94, the odds of him, you know, of him passing were pretty good, unfortunately. So as I said, every time we'd drive by, we would look, and I hadn't heard anything of him. But one day, there was a car in the driveway that had not been there. And I thought, oh no, that for sure probably means that he has passed away and his sons are there clearing out his home. That I said, I have to stop, Stacy. I just have to stop. And say something to his sons and give him our regards and our condolences if that's the case. And so we get out. I get out. Stacy stayed in the car. And I go up and knock at the door. And a man appeared, a young man, a younger man, a guy not as old as I am, maybe in his 50s. And I said, "Oh, are you Mr. Taylor's son?" And he said, "No, I'm his caregiver. He's right here." And so I was elated. And I said, "Stacy, he's here. He's here. He's in here. He's alive. He's okay." And so I motioned Stacy to come out of the car because we were invited in. And the caregiver went over and sat at the kitchen table and gave us a couple of seats in the living room by Mr. Taylor. And as soon as, he didn't know who we were, really, until I mentioned the name Wendy Dexter. And then it's like, "Oh, Dexter." So it triggered that memory in his mind of Dexter. So then he knew exactly who we were. But he showed us some things that he had that he had treasured, one item in particular that he'd treasured and had a story behind it. He's such a well-spoken man. And that day he said his wife, he had told me this on the phone before. He had mentioned that his wife was up in a state up north visiting, helping with a grandchild. And after so many months, I thought I looked at Stacy when he brought it up again this day at his home, and I thought, "Oh, this can't be," because it's been months that he's talked about his wife being gone. I couldn't really believe it being true. And she may have been back since then, because we didn't see him for several months. And I had no way of knowing how long he had been home from this facility where his sons had put him. But he was alert, and he was healthy, and he was very much alive, and he was full of stories and full of life and curious and sharing his stories of being in the Navy. He was in the Navy for 4 years, and he taught on 11 different ships. And he just had so many stories to share and tell. And it was just such a pleasure to talk to him. And he also taught at Lakeland College, a college here in town. And we were just totally captivated by his stories and his zest for life. And he said, I recommend to anybody that's going to be 90 years old, don't do it. He said, just stay 89, don't do it. he's a very healthy man, but he does have macular degeneration, which does cause him some issues. But even that, he said he's very lucky. And he had told us a story when we were leaving that day, and he said, "I had a friend." He said, he always took note of how lucky I was, Mr. Wallace said. And he said, after so long, he said, he gave me a nickname that I had for 40 years, and he called me Old Luck Ass. he said, that was my name for 40 years. And he said, I missed that. So we left that day, and when I came home, I thought about it, and I thought, I would like to do something for him for his birthday, but, he has a family, so we knew that there'd probably be plans to do something themselves for him and with him. So I decided I'd put it on Facebook and see if some friends would want to help celebrate his birthday and send him a card. So I had them contact me, and I sent them his address. And so the day of his birthday came, and it was a busy day for Stacy and me, because we had a podcast episode to record that afternoon. And then right after that, we had to get ready to go to Charleston to a gig where we were going to sing that evening. So we had to try to go earlier in the afternoon to try to see Mr. Taylor and see if we could catch up to him on his birthday. It was just a matter of luck as to whether we could or not. So we drove to his house, and because the caregiver had said he said I very well may not be here that day because the family will be with him. And so sure enough, there wasn't a caregiver's car in the driveway. So we went up. I'm not one to drop in on people because I don't like being dropped in on myself. I like a little advance notice. But nonetheless, this day we just had a card to give him. I couldn't think of anything to give a man. There's nothing. A man 95 years old does not need anything, and he doesn't need some useless little thing to gather dust in his home. So I just figured the best thing we could do is try to create a memory for him. So we knocked at the door, and there was no answer, which I thought was, you know, not unusual. His family may have gathered him up and taken him someplace. But I did notice a couple of things that were different around the front of the home that gave me an idea that someone might be there. But, and you know, I thought if he's by himself, he's 95, he can't really come running to the door. So we waited a good long while, and then eventually I rang the doorbell again, and we didn't hear anything, didn't hear any response. So we put I put the card on a chair that was by the door, and we turned around and just made our way back to the car. And just about the time we had our hands on the door handle, I heard a female voice. And a woman said, "Oh, we're here. Come on in. Come on in." And it was his wife. So his wife did exist. She does exist. And we were, and he was there. And it was his birthday. And she said, "Oh, come on in. Come on in." And we introduced ourselves and told him who we were. And, you know, she knew why we were there. And, she offered us a drink, and she sat down. We pulled all four of us sitting in the living room talking to Mr. Taylor. And, of course, he's living it up. It's his birthday. He's having a wonderful time. And so I asked his wife I said, "Did he get any extra cards? Or did he get any birthday cards?" And she said, "He got a lot of cards." She said, "Did you do that?" And it's like, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn at all, but, you know, it's a give an idea that what you might do for someone else that is in this same situation, because it made his day. And people, some wonderful people had written letters. Anne Richards had done that. And people sent him cards, and it was just wonderful. And I know that even with his macular degeneration, he can close one eye and he can read things very well. So Mr. Taylor was having a wonderful time, and he told us the stories. He told us some of the same. The caregiver had said, "Don't be surprised if he tells you the same stories." And we weren't surprised, and nor did we care. You know, he's a very well-spoken, educated man, and his stories are just wonderful to listen to. We were again, just totally captivated. So as we visited and we didn't want to spend too much time because his sons called, and we knew that they had plans to go down to Effingham to eat. Yeah, it's just a wonderful experience that came from something that was just, that took nothing out of our pockets, nothing out of our pockets to go out and just to show a little kindness, you know, just share a little something with your fellow man. The world is such a negative place right now, in such a negative space, and there's so much negative energy. And if you can do one little thing each day to try to counteract that, you're putting good energy back there, and we need all the good positive energy we could possibly get. You know, there's more good than evil in this world, and we're being told that that's not the case, but we know it's not true. We just simply have to try to push forward and to try to do nice things and to try to do positive things. So as I almost forgot. I told Stacy I wanted to sing happy birthday to Mr. Taylor before we left, and we got up to leave, and Stacy said, "Hey, we're going to sing him happy birthday." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about that," which was really the best part of the whole day. So we're gonna sing for you the version of what we sang to Mr. Taylor that day. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, old Luckus. Happy birthday to you.
And I gotta tell you, when he heard the words, old Luckus, he was the happiest I've ever seen him. It was just, it's such a treasured memory for him to have that friend that called him that for 40 years, that it made his day, it made our day. And I had told his wife, I said, well, I wanted to write it on one of your cards, but it seems so rude for me to be calling a man who's 95 years old. It seems rude and disrespectful to write a card and say, happy birthday, old Luckass. However, he said, you should have. And so when we sang him that birthday with that happy birthday with that version, he was a happy camper. So, it takes so little to bring joy to another person. And like I said, I'm not tooting my own horn. Anybody who knows me, Stacy, you know, and Chip, our engineer, I'm not the lightest person sometimes in the world, but I do try. I have my moments when I'm not positive. I have my moments when I'm a little heavy. And I have my moments when I have my negative energy, but I try to bring the positive to the forefront. And that's what we all have to do in this negative world that we're living in right now. The world's a heavy place, but we can make it a little bit lighter with just a little bit of effort. And it cost us nothing I just feel like the universe put this man, you know, in a place where we could meet him. And I've always somehow been attracted to people that are much older than me. I don't know if it's the wisdom they have or what it is, but a person like Mr. Taylor just brings so much to the table. And I'm so thankful that we got to meet him. And I'm thankful if you've stopped by to listen to this episode today. So I want to thank you for being here. And please go to my Facebook page and leave a positive review. It's not to my personal page, but to Life on the Illinois Prairie Facebook page. Or leave a positive review anywhere where you listen to this podcast. That would be immensely helpful to me. Thank you. And please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.